Imagine a world where humanity pursued unity over division. Imagine a world where humanity acknowledged the oneness of everything in the universe. Imagine a world where humanity chose love and light over everything else. It's not my credit to take explores the stories of people from all walks of life who seek to uplift humanity and restore Christ consciousness on this planet. Their unique journeys of tapping into their gifts, talents, and the infinite consciousness are amazing, and their willingness to share them to wake up humanity to their true essence and potential is even more remarkable. Get ready to laugh, to cry, and to be inspired. I'm your host, Dr. Ed Slover, and welcome to the It's Not My Credit to Take podcast. Hello, Audrey. How are you today?
Hey, Ed. I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. My guest today is Audrey Dutton. Audrey used to be an atheistic Satanist, but is now a Christ follower. She experienced a transformative encounter that led her to embark on a beautiful supernatural journey of seeing signs, wonders, and miracles. But most importantly, she's been able to discover the true nature of Jesus. Over the past 16 years, Audrey has been enraptured with studying scriptures, early church history, and theology. Her previous atheistic perspective allows her to fearlessly explore challenging questions about religion, Christianity, the character of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Today, she guides others in breaking free from religious mindsets, helps them grow in their relationship with God, and empowers them to embrace their identity in Jesus Christ. Audrey, welcome to the It's Not My Credit to Take podcast.
Thank you. It's such an honor.
So why don't you start by sharing with the listeners a little bit more about you and how you ended up where you are in your life?
Okay. I grew up in a home where my parents both had their own addictions that they were struggling through, and my dad was in and out of jail and prison, and we would move around a lot to be close to him or to move in with family when he was, you know, if we couldn't move to be close to him. So moving around a lot as well. Like one time I tried to figure out how many different places I'd lived. I think I was a senior in high school, and it was like on the verge of, you know, getting up there in the 50s. It was way too many, and never being able to settle down anywhere. I had times when, you know, I would make these good friendships at school, and then suddenly overnight, you know, we're gone, and I'd never have like a way to connect with them again. And anyway, so I don't know. I ended up being just full of maybe grief or something. I don't know, but just a lot of pain and turmoil and stuff. But I just started to like these darker side of things. So, the satanic side, it's not that I actually worshiped Satan. So if you look up Satanism, you'll find that, you know, there's people who believe in Satan as an actual entity. And then there are people who say they don't believe in him, like they don't believe in God, they're atheists, but they are more into darker things. And they use Satan as a symbol of rebellion against societal and religious constructs. So that's basically what I did. Like, I was gothic and always was wearing black and wore the corpse paint on my face, like white and black, black metal makeup and stuff. I liked gore, and my goal was to be a cinematographer and a makeup artist. And so I have a testimony video of all these, it has these pictures of me in my like zombie makeup and murdered makeup and all these dark themes. And yeah, I was passionate about that stuff. And my best friend, when right out of high school, we ended up getting married. He was already in the army, and then I joined the army, and we'd been married for a month. I'd been in basic training for 5 weeks, and then he accidentally killed himself when I was 19. So this happened when I was 19. And they honorably discharged me because I had torn my Achilles tendon. And so they said that, you know, they might as well just let me go. And I could rejoin if I wanted to. So then I took a whole month to just like grieve and do any kind of drug or drink anything I could get my hands on, which is something I didn't do before. Excuse me. Just from being raised in a home where my mom and my dad were doing these things. Like my dad did the drugs, my mom did the drinking. I mean, my dad drank too a lot, and when he did, he got angry and tore up the house. But my mom like did it all the time, just partying. She would take me with her to her parties. She would host parties. And so I just kind of told myself, like, I'm never going to let this stuff control me, you know? But after my first husband died, I did anything I could get my hands on, and it got bad. But thankfully, that only lasted for a month before I had my encounter with Jesus. My grandpa asked me to go with him to the mountains in Colorado. And so we went, and while we were there, we would just sit out every night around a campfire talking about all kinds of bizarre theories of the universe and how things work. And one night, I said something about God and like how he loves us, but I didn't even know what I was saying. And I wish I could remember exactly what I said, because when I said it, there was this huge explosion in the sky, like a nebula exploded or a star exploded or something. I mean, it was just suddenly this light got huge, and then it just disappeared, like dissipated. Like a lot of, it looks like what I've seen an exploding star looks like. So I thought that was pretty special. And then I got some bad news one day while I was up there, and it just really threw me over the edge. And one night I was sitting under these beautiful stars, and I was just started crying and cussing and blaming and going over my whole life. And like, why did my husband have to die? Why did I have to grow up, you know, going through the stuff that I went through? Why has it had to be so hard on my mom? Why did my dad have all these issues? Like, and then that just rippled out into every good person that I've known in my life who's just been dealt this crap, you know? And then something came out of me, even though I, you know, I said I was an atheist. It was like, out of all this emotion, I found myself saying, you can't be real. If you're real, why does all this stuff happen? And I hate you, F you, you know, like I was just started cussing God out. And in the midst of that, I just suddenly heard, not audibly, but just like in me, something that was not me, say very calmly and authoritatively, but lovingly, if I'm not real, then why do you curse me? And it was like this light bulb went off, but also it was like when God said that to me, it had a lot of power with it. It was like in the midst of me realizing, oh my gosh, I've just been in denial. He also was showing me that he always loved me, and it wasn't him that did all of these things. It's not him doing all these things to people. And that I had like had my hand up to him, you know, my whole life, and that I had this wall up to where I couldn't see him loving me. And it was like my life flashed before my eyes, and I could see all the times where he intervened in my life. I could feel all the times that he was there loving me. It was just suddenly this instant awareness. And I just began to cry and like rejoice and be thankful. And I'd never worshiped God in my life, you know, but it was just this awe came over me, you know, and I just had this knowing like, oh my gosh, you gave me this life and you love me, you know, and it just changed everything. And from that point on, I would just felt this desire to look at the Bible. And when I would, everything I just randomly opened up and read, it just always resonated with exactly what I was going through. It spoke to questions I was asking. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. But yeah, I started seeing miracles, and I just started hearing God's voice, like leading me places and answering prayers. And I mean, yeah, it was awesome. So I don't know how much more you want me to get into that, but.
So growing up, you didn't have any formal introduction to church or religion, did you?
No. I mean, I went a few times, just a few times with my grandparents who were Southern Grace Baptists on both sides. So anytime they talked about God, it was usually associated with something like judgment, you know, like on one side of my family, it was oftentimes like if there's a catastrophe, oh, God's judging these people for being wicked and doing things and being sinners. And then on another side, it was kind of like if I wore black fingernails, bleak fingernail polish, or listened to metal music or had tattoos, you know, they just were like, oh, you're going to hell. And it makes me so sad that you're going to hell. You know, that kind of thing. But I love my grandparents. They prayed for me, and they actually brought a lot of stability into my life. So
your husband dies. Mm-hmm. You find yourself going down what can probably only be described as a spiral with drugs and alcohol. You find yourself with your grandfather in the mountains of Colorado, and you're cursing God. As an atheist, how does that happen? First, I mean, to go from non-belief in the infinite creator of the universe to getting to a point emotionally where that's where you point your finger at, how does that work? Help me understand that.
I know. I still don't really understand it myself, other than from my perspective now as a believer and a believer in universal restoration. It to me, it's just that, you know, God is love and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So, I mean, if everything else fails, I mean, he's all that's left, you know? So I just think when everything else crumbled, that's what I was met with. I wasn't even seeking him. And there's actually a scripture that says that, that God reveals himself to those who aren't even looking for him, you know? And that it can make like the religious people crazy and, you know, jealous because they live their lives trying to be holy and perfect. And yet they don't have these encounters with God. And then there's people who are living, you know, these horrible lifestyles in their eyes, you know, and he shows up in these radical ways sometimes. But I think it's just because he really is real. You know, I mean, I am a believer now, and you use the word unbelief. I mean, just because we don't believe in something doesn't mean it's not true or real. So
you had referenced a few moments ago seeing signs and miracles after you had your encounter with Jesus. Mm-hmm. What types of things have you seen? What types of things have you experienced?
I've seen scoliosis healed, infertility healed, all instantly. I've seen not just scoliosis, but other back issues, people with one leg shorter than the other getting healed, where you can literally just see their legs grow and align with each other, hips getting straightened. I've seen MRSA healed. I mean, all kinds of different things. I've had a lot of my own personal healings. I've had a broken toe healed. I had my torn Achilles tendon that I had gotten when I was in the military. A few months after being a Christian, I was just laying on the floor one day at a worship service, and Jesus was just speaking to me about all that he like did for me, you know, for everybody. But he was just showing me that I'm healed because of what he did as the vicarious man, you know, like he's vicarious humanity. And so we can experience healing because of his vicariousness on our behalf. And so he told me to get up and run. And so I got up and I started running in the sanctuary. Felt like a crazy person, but my foot was healed. So, and I also had this thing to where it was like my leg almost started to go numb. So I don't know if I had like a pinched nerve or something, but that also was gone. So yeah. And then I've had like God was showing me about being set free from the law of sin and death and the curse. And the moment that he was speaking to me about being set free from the curse, you know, of like the painful childbearing and all of these type of things that we're told that everybody has to experience. I used to have, I'm sorry if this is TMI, but I feel like it is a very mystical and powerful thing. So I had really bad period cramps before this happened. And then literally the moment that Jesus showed me that I was set free from the curse, that I didn't have to have painful childbirth, I didn't have to have painful, you know, periods or whatever, that went away. Like the I've not had any cramping since 2010, like early 2010, maybe even 2009. Let's see. No, my encounter happened in 2008, so this was probably late 2009. I have never had another cramp since then.
Audrey,
So.
I'm sure you know this, but there are a countless number of women that are jealous of you in that regard, for sure.
I don't tell everyone that, but it's like I feel like that's such a mystical thing. And like people need to know this stuff. Like it's possible. And I'm not anyone special. Like we're all just as important and we're all just as special. And what was vicariously mine is also vicariously yours and anybody else's. And that's how I've come to have so many healings in my life. So I'm very passionate about healing just for that reason, but it's nothing to have to attain or work for. It's literally a gift that has already been made available.
I couldn't agree more. I want to go back to post-encounter. So you're in the Colorado Mountains and Jesus is communicating with you. And it sounds like your life did a complete 180. With the friends that you had in a former life, the community of atheistic Satanists, what was their response to your experience? How did those relationships evolve or devolve over time?
That's a really good question because that was very pivotal for me. You know, they knew that my husband had died. So it was kind of like, oh, poor Audrey. She thinks she needs this Jesus to make her feel better. So, is exactly how I treated Christians. I thought Christianity was pitiful and ridiculous. But none of them ever said anything mean to me. I think probably because of what happened to me. So, but it did begin to affect me personally. You know, like I felt like I couldn't talk to them. I tried, and I tried to tell them about my encounter that I had, and they just always chalked it up to being like a mental breakdown or something. You know, and. So then I started like going to the bars with them and hanging out with them. And we did very crazy, like devil worshiping shows. Even though they weren't like literally worshiping the devil, it looked that way. You know, like they would dress up in the robes and have upside down crosses and pentagrams and all this stuff and play noise music and death metal and black metal and stuff. And, I thought if I just hang out with them and they see the change in my life, then surely they'll end up listening to me. And it seemed like it just nobody really cared. And it got to a point to where I was subjecting myself to things again that felt it felt icky to me now. There was a Sorry, just to backtrack for a moment. When I came back from Colorado, I tried to watch a horror movie, like a scary movie that I'd been wanting to watch for months. And I used to love gory movies. I loved scary movies. Like I said earlier, I wanted to make them. But my stomach was in knots the whole time I was watching this other movie. And this movie wasn't anything near as bad, raunchy, gory, scary as I had seen before. And so I watched the whole thing, but when it was over, I stood up and I said, "What is this? Like something has happened to me." And I went to my bed and I passed out. But I knew something in me had shifted in the mountains, like something literally changed in me. And so being back around my friends, they would watch just really disturbing things that shouldn't even be legal. And in fact, in some countries, they are illegal. So, and they are illegal here, but in other countries, they're legal. So my friends were able to get them on the black market or whatever. And I just started to feel really, I don't know, strange. And one night I had a guy hitting on me, and like he'd never given me much attention. And I had previously made a bad decision, and I ended up sleeping with somebody that I barely even knew, and I had never done anything like that. And afterwards, I wanted to kill myself because I felt so heartbroken that my dead husband wasn't the last person that I was with. And I was kind of manipulated into the whole situation. And so then being at this party, this other guy's like hitting on me, and he'd never given me any attention. I started to entertain the idea, and I'm sitting there on the couch, and his head is on my or in my lap, and I hear Holy Spirit say, "If you go down this path, it's going to be worse than it was before." And that gives, like when you read in the scriptures, Jesus told this guy, "Go, stop sinning or else something worse will happen to you." I used to read that, like, sorry, this was a recent revelation I had, but it's just important, I feel led to share it. Oftentimes, when people read that scripture, they feel like Jesus is threatening him, like, "You go and live holy. Don't be a bad, naughty little boy anymore, like, or else I'm going to punish you and you're going to go to hell or something." But recently, last year, I was reading that and I was reminded of this moment. And I just started crying because it was like him whispering to me again, just showing me that it was a warning and it was an invitation out of his love for me, to protect me. But it was just this overwhelming invitation that there's something more to life. You've been looking for more. You've always known that you belong to something bigger than what you were aware of, and now you found it. So, like, if you go that way, the condemnation in your own heart and in your own conscience is going to hold you back. And that's why it's worse when you've already experienced the kingdom, you've experienced miracles, and then you turn back to unbelief. So, yeah, in that moment, I had to like stop hanging out with all of my friends. I just, yeah,
Audrey,
I just had to quit.
Audrey, what you described was, as far as I can tell, a spiritual awakening from the moment you encountered Jesus and then starting to see signs and miracles. And yet you found yourself kind of back in the same social circle
That
while
was
Holy
before.
Spirit's, getting
Sorry.
your attention, still getting your attention. One of the challenges that I've had during my spiritual awakening at times is staying grounded, really integrating whatever it is that I'm learning practically into my life. And because sometimes when people have spiritual awakening, they're in the clouds, they're in more of the sort of spirit world. for lack of a better way of saying it, versus being in the physical world where we're charged with being, right? We're human beings having, or sorry, spiritual beings having a human experience. How were you able ultimately to get and stay grounded after the proverbial dust settled around your spiritual awakening?
I love that visual. Well, when I came back from Colorado, I went to this church that I felt would accept me for what I looked like and everything, because they had a lot of people there that had tattoos and piercings. And so I went there, and they were the first Christians I'd ever met that talked about signs and wonders, angels, demons, the supernatural, the power of the Holy Spirit, and all these things. So that was definitely what I needed to build a foundation of how, because of what Jesus did, I can walk in this power, I can walk in this authority now because of him in me. And a very important part of that foundation, I think, or I know, was just learning that I have Holy Spirit in me, and that I can talk to God at any time, and that God is always talking to us. It's just a matter of having discernment and helping, you know, tune in and training our eyes and our hearts to be aware that God is always talking. Like, we're never alone, and we're never left to have to fend for ourselves. And so when I learned that, I just started practicing all the time. And a big part of that was like reading the New Testament and getting, especially like Paul's letters have been very valuable to me, and getting that mystical understanding of how we are, I want to say, basically quantumly entangled with Christ and what he did for us. And so getting that and just renewing my mind to the truth of who I am in Christ. And in doing that, I'm able to discern now, you know, when love is talking to me, or when, you know, something that's full of accusation and judgment and fear is talking to me, or just my own brain, you know, with all the jumbled stuff up there. So that's been very valuable, because I've been in many situations where I didn't know what to do. I was totally terrified, totally overwhelmed, very burdened with something. And all I did was just say, you know, I have to clear my head, and I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, what do you say right now? And I mean, so many times I've just heard God say something to me that directed me, and it was exactly what I needed. And I could not have done it on my own. I mean, because I already was trying on my own to think, okay, what do we need to do? What should I do? And either things that I thought I needed to do would fall apart. So then just inviting Holy Spirit into almost everything I do, because it really is a relationship, has been very foundational for me, because I know that no matter what I go through, no matter what I do, no matter what situation I'm in, I've got love on my side and infinite wisdom right there to be able to guide me.
What advice would you give to someone who is skeptical about being able to tune in and hear God's whisper, feel Holy Spirit? Because those skeptics might say, well, I'm an avid prayer, but nothing really ever comes through. I don't really hear the voice of God, or I don't really feel anything, or I meditate and I just can't get out of my own head whenever I do that. What advice would you give to a skeptic like that in terms of finding different ways to be able to tune in to where you can actually receive the messages that God is giving us all the time?
Well, I do think, you know, reading scripture is a tool. You know, it's not a command. It's not something we have to do. But you'd be surprised at how much it helps. I know it has really helped me a lot. So that really has sped up my spiritual walk, and doing it with Holy Spirit. So it started out just because I was trained this way or discipled this way. I don't know, to just be like, okay, Holy Spirit, I invite you into what I'm reading, and I just ask that you reveal, you know, the truth to me. So I did that for a long time, but as I've grown, in my own personal relationship with Jesus and reading the scriptures through a lens that was not forced on me or taught to me, but through the lens of love and through the lens of what I feel God has shown me, you know, Holy Spirit is always with us. Holy Spirit is in us. There's nothing we can do to be separated from God's love. So there's no need for me to invite the Holy Spirit into my situation, but rather to just act accordingly, like as if, you know, my husband is sitting right here next to me, my husband that I'm married to now, you know, like we're face to face. So practicing that and reading scripture really helps you to discern, because we've got all of this mainstream Christianity and other types of religions that believe in Jesus, or people that don't believe in Jesus, but they believe in other things, you know, trying to tell us how to interpret the Bible and giving us their filters, you know, giving us their doctrines, their theologies, and all of that. But I mean, when you boil it all down, Jesus only said one commandment, basically. And when he gives us this commandment, it's not really something that's like, oh, you better do this, you know? It's really like, it's the command of life. And that is just to love, like to love yourself, to love your neighbor, to love God. Those are just the fruits of living a life when you are at peace. And when you do those things, like the whole law is summed up in love. So that's not a bad thing. And that's all that Jesus wants for us. And it's not because he wants us to follow a rule. It's because God is love. So when we're living in love, then we're receiving love. Or actually rather, when we know that God is love, we're able to receive that love and we're able to love, if that makes any sense. And so 1 Corinthians 13 especially has been foundational for me in renewing my mind and being able to hear God more clearly. Because oftentimes, like the kind of Christianity that I came out of, you know, when I became a Christian, I went to this church. It eventually became a cult. But the first year and a half that I was there, it was pretty good. And they set some good foundations for me. And where am I going with that? My brain just went blank. Sorry. Does that answer the question at all, or am I going in the right direction?
I think it does. I think it does. I want to follow up, because when you were describing your childhood of having an alcoholic mother and a drug addicted father, who spent time in and out of prison, and you had moved in the neighborhood of 50 or more times, and you were dealing with the pain of lost relationships. How did you go about the healing process as you woke up spiritually and became closer to Jesus?
Yeah, well, it really was in moments where I would just turn on some meditating music or some good worship music, not just like Christian music, but actually worship music where people are, they themselves are trying to hear, you know, Holy Spirit, and just singing truth and life over the people listening. I would just sit there and listen to these songs, and it would trigger me, but it was like, I'm in this presence of God. So he would start to minister to me about these triggers, like, and there were times where I would end up just wailing uncontrollably and crying and just crying so hard. And I didn't know what was happening to me. And now I'm pretty sure that's like basically a form of deliverance and inner healing. You know, it's like you're just in the presence of God. You're in the presence of love. And that love was ministering to my soul deeper than I even had words for at the time. And so there were many times where I remember just being on the floor crying or in bed crying and wailing and letting all this stuff out. And then also thinking like, I'm insane right now. This is crazy. What's happening to me? You know, but I always felt lighter. I started to, you know, there was fruit from it. And then eventually that stopped, you know? And so it was definitely just like a process of being just in the presence of God, knowing that God's presence is everywhere. God is with me at all times. So I would just spend time with him, like being intentional, knowing that he's there with me. And those were the times when I would just hear that still small voice again, like inside my heart or, you know, whatever, never audibly, but just within me saying things that were so full of love and authority and truth and identity. So it just would break all these other things away from me. So, and that also is a big key in what you asked earlier about like people that are skeptical. The thing is like, you know, when Jesus came, anytime he ever talked harsh to somebody, it was always to a religious leader. He never talked harshly to anybody that wasn't a religious leader. And so people who think that they're good just because they have this prayer life and they do all the things, but if there's no heart connection, you know, it's important for us to know that we can have a heart connection, that God doesn't want us to just go through life ho-hum, you know, not experiencing the love that we're created from and for. So I would try to encourage anyone that, you know, if you do pray and but you're skeptical of somebody hearing from God, to know that you can hear from God too. It's not that I'm anything special, but that there's a whole world of people out there that are talking about, that have experienced the same things I'm talking about. Yeah.
We got one final question for you, Audrey. You're a podcast host. Can you share with the listeners the name of your podcast and what inspired it?
The name is the Eat Me, Drink Me podcast. So, and I was inspired to call it that because it's a twist on how we partake in Jesus's vicariousness, like communion, but also Alice in Wonderland themed, because her story just really ministers to me, mainly the newer movie versions, not necessarily the books. The books still have some awesome imagery and symbolism that I appreciate. But yeah, and through that, I just was praying and I got all this confirmation. I mean, during that time, I was praying about it and we went to go pick my husband up from the airport when he had come back from a mission trip. And I wanted to take the kids to go see a movie while we were waiting for his plane to come in. And we went to go see Sing 2, and the beginning of it starts out with this whole Alice in Wonderland theme. And then the main plot, the main character of this whole thing is about a lion, and lions are very symbolic to me, very special to me. That's a whole other story. And I actually have a whole episode that talks about this reoccurring dream that I had where I met the Lion of Judah in the stars. And I had that dream my whole life up until I met Jesus. And so, yeah, that's a big foundation of that. And having been an atheist and never seeing miracles before believing in Jesus, and then after my encounter and everything being pointed to Jesus, is why, you know, I could just say, oh, I had this encounter with God. But it was like every supernatural experience I had, every answer to prayer, every word that like really changed my life or spoke to me, it always just pointed to Jesus. And using the name of Jesus to pray for people is when I started seeing miracles happen. And so I just have had a lot of people tell me, like, Audrey, you need to start a podcast, for years. And it just, I don't know, everything just kind of fell into place for me to be able to start doing that. And so I interview people and they share how they went down the rabbit hole, how Holy Spirit has led them down the rabbit hole into experiencing Jesus's wonderland. That's kind of the gist of the show, and sharing miracles, mystical experiences with people, experiencing heaven on earth, and the focus not being on when we die, like be a good person, and then when you die, you'll be rewarded, but rather how, because of what Jesus has done, what we get to experience on earth now.
I love that. I love that. Audrey, this has been great. How can listeners learn more about you and the work you're doing?
They can go to eatmedrinkmepodcast.net. I'm also on TikTok and YouTube under the Eat Me Drink Me Pod.
Wonderful. I'll be sure to put that in the show notes. Audrey, this was a really interesting conversation. You have an amazing story. Please keep sharing it with anyone that is willing to listen. It really
Thank
is remarkable.
You.
And I really appreciate your time.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much. And thanks everybody for listening.
God bless.
Thank you. You too.
You can contact the show at itsnotmycredittotake.com. We'd love to hear from you. God bless. Thank you.